This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's time to tee it high and let it fly on the Tee Florida.
I demand satisfaction.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the 19th Hole Studios inside Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill.
How about a Prisca?
Bringing you the week's coverage of all things golf.
He's got to be pleased with Dad.
From PGA to NCAA. And now...
Well, we're waiting.
Let's tee off with Mike Rickard, Oscar Gamer, and John Rieger.
Welcome back to Hour 2 on this Open Championship week. We are live on the T19th Hole Clubhouse Studio, brought to you by Sipic Vodka here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. I've got my bodyguard alongside me, Jeff Ward, kind enough to come down and join me. And, of course, Tom Gribben had a commitment at home that he had to take care of. And then Patty Suzette, she's a little under the weather, our queen of cocktails. I was looking forward to what we're going to do with her, Jeff, is each week she's going to create a different ice pick vodka cocktail, and I was looking forward to her concoction this week.
Sounds good to me. I'm a big fan of them.
And nice and icy and cold on a day like that.
Nothing better.
And oh, you know what? Now it's time to shift gears, and we are going to talk to an Iowan. Gene Elliott's on the line, and kind enough to take time in Iowa to join us. He's been on the show several times and has had incredible success. John Rieger, say hello to Gene Elliott. Hello, Gino. It's good to get you back on, my man.
Hey, Mike. Nice to be on, and things are hot and humid here in Iowa.
Well, what do you think they are down here? You live down here half the year.
You got those nice ocean breezes, though.
Yeah. Well, I've got that downtown St. Pete no breeze across from Tropicana Field right now. John Rager's up on St. Augustine Beach. He might have that the breeze that you're talking about that you get. And, of course, I got you on. You just got back from across the pond. You had the British Senior U.S. Open. British Open. You won the U.S. Open. And let's talk a little bit about your 2023 trip across there. And then I'd like to have John go through your resume. He does a great job of introducing people as they're on the
Well, we actually need to introduce Gene to our listeners here before we get started, because this is one impressive man. And we have an Iowa flavor here, obviously, and on the Tee Florida Golf, even though we can insert the word Iowa in there. We need to call it on the Tee Iowa Florida Golf sometimes. But I tell you what great golfers there are from Iowa, and Gene Elliott's certainly one of them. If you go and you Google Gene Elliott and you go to the iowagolf.org, you'll see their Hall of Fame. It's going to take me about 17 minutes to go through his playing resume. But one of the really cool things is, and it's only been a few years ago where Gene has not only won the U.S. senior amateur, but he won the British amateur also. And that's spectacular. That's really something. And for our listeners out there, we have the John Rieger Report. You can go to the John Rieger Report on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter, and you can get links to all these great stories. We'll post this up here tomorrow about Gene and his playing career. But probably one of the greatest senior amateur golfers in the United States. And that's who we're talking to tonight here, Mike. So let's talk to Gene and get his perspective now. Everybody knows who he is.
Well, you know, that's why I keep John Rieger around, Gene, to keep me in line. You know how I am. I had the boys up there, Judd Gibb and Horty, taking care of me there, and now I've got pros taking care of me down here in Florida. So let's talk about your trip this past week across the pond, and you didn't finish as high as you wanted, but the weather looked brutal.
Well, thanks for all that nice comments. I'm kind of coming off of a 21 was a storybook year, the kind of year you dream about to win, a USGA and an R&A event in the same year, and those are our two biggest senior majors, and there's only three majors in senior amateur golf, and that's the U.S., the British, and the Canadian senior amateur. And I've been fortunate to win U.S. and British, but I've won, also won two Canadian. So we count those as majors. And there's only three guys that have ever won all three of those senior amateur majors. So I feel very honored to be in that company. But after my 21 year of winning, and I was hurt pretty much all of last year with frozen shoulder, and then I broke a bone in my foot and had to have surgery and had a screw put in December. So they said I couldn't walk 18 holes for 4 months. So, you know, March, April is kind of when I kind of got back at it. So now I'm starting to get in the groove again and play some golf, and quality golf. A couple weeks before the British Senior was a tournament out at National Golf Links on Long Island called the C.B. McDonald Invitational. It's right next to Shinnecock, and I was fortunate enough to play well there, and I won. So I was looking forward to the British, but I you know, when you play overseas, sometimes there's a good side of the draw and a bad side of the draw, and I didn't happen to have the best side of the draw. So my tee time the first round was 10 minutes to 3 in the afternoon, and we literally walked off the golf course pitch black at 9:30 at night. So 7 hours on the golf course with the delays and this and that. It was a long, long day. I actually kind of didn't score that bad, but the putter was kind of cold all week just never did get anything going. But you know, I learned from that. That's, you know, a lot of times golf is tournaments where you not necessarily finish high, but you learn something about your game that you know, time. And so anyhow, I think I finished tied for 17th over there with, you know, I had a chance to, you know, maybe have a top five, and I just didn't finish it off. But we've got our Iowa State Amateur next week. It's at Glen Oaks here, which is my home golf course. And then the year kind of gets really rolling for me. I have one more exemption in the U.S. Amateur against the college kids. So I get to get outdriven by 50, 60, 70 yards in that tournament. It's out of Cherry Hills in Denver. And then we got a week off, and we've got the U.S. Senior is out in Lake Tahoe at Martis Camp. And then right after that's the Canadian Senior. So got a lot of good quality golf coming up, and really looking forward to it.
You know, Gene, there's one of the things you have in common. I know that I've looked at your resume, and you were a professional golfer for a while there. And in fact, it said that you won the Quebec Open and finished in the top 10 of the money list on the Canadian Open. But for listeners out there, Gene's got something in common with Lee Trevino. You know, now that you mentioned that you won the Canadian Amateur, Lee Trevino won the Canadian Open, the U.S. Open, and the Open Championship. So you won the amateur version of that. Not many people probably are in a handful of people that have ever done that. So for our listeners out there, we wanted to get your idea and opinion about, and you've played a lot of golf over across the pond. What are these pros facing this weekend at Royal Liverpool as far as, cause, you know, when we watch golf on television, it looks easy, but we know it's very difficult. But we're seeing these bunkers over there. What do you do when you get in one of those bunkers? Have you been in a sod-faced bunker like that, stymied, or you've been fortunate to just miss them all?
Oh no! It you know, that's what I love about playing over there. It's not so much, you know, fly it in the air 157 yards or just knock it down the fairway 300 yards. It's you got to place it in the right position on the fairway, because if you hit it in those bunkers off the tee, and you know, you may not even be able to get it out. Here we get upset if we're in a fairway bunker and we can't hit a six iron out of it with a perfect lie in the sand. Over there, you're going backwards, sideways, whatever way you can. You know, you might be on your knees trying to hit it, and so there. you know, they're basically like penalty shots. They're bunkers over there. And, you know, if you get a greenside bunker and you get too close to an edge where you don't have a backswing I've played in three British senior opens against the pros over there. And I remember it was so demoralizing. I was on a greenside bunker and I had no backswing. I mean, I couldn't, I just flicked it about 4 feet in the bunker just so I could have a backswing. And you're going to make a double bogey when you have to do that kind of stuff. So, it's just such great position golf and you're not just hitting drivers and seeing how far you can hit it and then hitting a wedge in, because you short sighted over there and you make big numbers. You know, when Thomas Bjorn short sighted it in the British Open 1 year, and you know, he couldn't get it out and lost the British Open right there on the 18th hole because of a greenside bunker. I think it's a lot of fun, and it just makes accuracy. It doesn't matter how far the ball goes. You don't have to dial the ball back overseas because it's where you hit it, not how far you hit it.
Well, you know, I'm going to make an on-air apology to our listeners out there and to Mike and Tom, because I was chastising them last week for calling it not calling it the British Open, but trying to call it the Open Championship. But we're talking to a guy here, Gene Elliott, who's won a major amateur championship over there, and he calls it the British Open. So that rule is waived. I apologize to everybody. We'll call it the British Open, the Open, whatever we want to call it, because Gene's called it the British Open. I'll call it the British Open, too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And he's a University of Iowa Hawkeye, so I'm going with Gene as well, Mr. Rager. Yeah. You got no shot when it comes to that. I've got Gene's back, and he's got mine. That's how Hawks roll. I have to throw the
Hey,
Hawks
Gene.
In there.
Hey, Gene, I have a question for you.
Sure.
You know, being from Florida here, you know, we see these English tourists that come over here to the theme parks, and they go back home looking like lobsters. And I can see why, because I'm looking every time I've been over there to play. Every time I watch a golf tournament, especially in the middle of July, everybody's wearing a sweater. Have you ever played a round of golf over across the pond without a sweater?
You know, I think in 21 the British Senior Open was at Sunningdale outside of London, and it was so hot. I mean, it was 85, 86 degrees, and it was fine playing golf, but when you go back to the little place you rented, it's about 100 degrees inside because the windows are all closed and they don't have air conditioning. My wife and I ended up buying 3 fans that week just to have some air circulating in the place.
Well, did the fans' arms wear out by, you know, it's hard to find people off the street to wave fans at you all night. Did their arms wear out?
No. But, you know, you can play in any kind of weather there. I have had some good weather, but no, a lot of turtlenecks and wool sweaters and that kind of stuff.
Gene, give us a word of advice. Give us a word of advice for our golfing listeners out there, but especially for kids. You've had a long, accomplished career in golf. It's no accident. I know you have to work hard at that. I know you have a lot of talent, a lot of skills. What one skill do you think that you can attribute to your success over all these years as both a professional and as an amateur golfer?
You know, I think to be successful at any level in golf, you have to have a lot of composure. I relate golf to life. I don't mean to get too serious, but you know, in golf, you get good breaks and bad breaks. You have things happen that you know necessarily shouldn't happen, and you know, it's the same thing in life, and it's just how you handle it. You know, if you're going to get so upset about, you know, kicking it in the rough or kicks in the pond or whatever, it's going to affect you the next few holes, I just think if you can compose yourself and try and stay on an even keel, there isn't too much club throwing and the the old days of the Quad Cities Open and some of the characters that did, you know, stuff and beat up tee markers and things like that. But, you know, I just think, you know, controlling yourself, controlling your emotions and your composure, you know, you're miles ahead of the guy that isn't.
Well, yeah, there's a lot to be said for that. I tell you what, I know that with Mike Rickard, he's got the patience of a gnat. And I can tell you that I'm not sure if he's got a complete set of clubs in his bag yet.
Attention span of a gnat. Hey, before we go any further in this conversation, I want Gene to share with the audience who his caddy is and who helps him keep that composure and who is there every day of his life. I think it's a wonderful story.
Well, when we go overseas, most of the places don't have caddies, and there's no golf carts over there. And so my wife, she pulls the trolley, and she usually doesn't say a lot, and if she does, that means I'm usually in trouble. But a couple years ago, at the British Senior Amateur, when I won, we got to I had a 4 or 5 shot lead, and I let it slip away with some bogeys, and I knew it was getting close, but I didn't know exactly how far, and I had a 10-footer for birdie or for par on the 17th hole. And she was cleaning my ball, and she was watching for the live scoring on her phone. And all of a sudden, she came up, gave me my ball, and she says, "You need to make this." I went, crap! I've let this tournament slip away, and you know. But anyhow, so thankfully, I poured that in the middle, and I parred the last hole and won the tournament by a shot. But I was almost scared not to make it. She was so, "You need to make this." I'm like, "Okay, I will." So, but no, she actually had a very, it was a very tough week a week or two ago in England. And with the weather, we had 2 umbrellas going and trying to keep stuff dry. She worked her tail off. She learned, you know, that high salary that I pay her, she earned every penny of it.
Hey, we're talking to Gene Elliott, one of the foremost amateur golfers in the world, and proud to know him from the state of Iowa, played at the University of Iowa, and then got involved in his family business, and then his career propelled as he hit that magic mark of the Champions Tour age group, and he's been on top of his game ever since. Let's try to pin a couple of your favorite memories. You've got so many victories, it's tough to pinpoint, I'm sure, you know, which one meant the most to you. But the back-to-back, of course, the British and the senior in the same year, is monumental. And you'd already won the Canadian. But was there any other one that had a lot of significance in your life and that you really appreciated more than the others?
When I was, you know, playing mid-amateur golf against a lot of the college kids, I won a tournament called the Porter Cup in Niagara Falls, New York. And you know, there was back, that was in 98, and I was 36 years old. And, you know, back then, a lot of mid-amateurs, you know, could compete against the college kids. We could beat them quite a bit. You know, that's not the case anymore. The college kids are all better than the mid-ams. You know, there's a handful in the country of mid-ams, but I mean, the college game is so strong. I mean, look at the guy leading the British, the Open Championship right now. You know, the Porter Cup, I've got the article and everything. And if you look at who played in that, It was Adam Scott and Lucas Glover and Ben Curtis who won the British Open. And, I mean, it was just a list of who's who, but they were all, you know, 18, 19 years old. You know, the Porter Cup has a lot of history. You know, Ben Crenshaw won it, and Jay Siegel won it 3 times, and a bunch of tour players, Verplank, and I can't remember them all, but a lot of, you know, when they were younger, won and then went on to have great PGA Tour careers. But that was a very memorable. It kind of put me on the map nationally for amateur golf. And
that was 1998, right? 1998?
Yeah. And then 1999, I qualified for the U.S. Amateur, and it was at Pebble Beach. And 99, Tiger won by 15 shots in 2000. And so they hadn't played Pebble Beach in a lot of, you know, they would maybe every 10, 12 years. And so 99, they hadn't been there in a while. And they had the rough so high and playing. We played Spyglass one round and Pebble one round, and then they cut to 64 for match play. Well, I was the medalist, 312 guys, and I shot even par, and I was the medalist of that number one seed. I lost my first match, but it was just an honor to be medalist at Pebble, you know, and in that kind of a field. So, I've been so blessed and gotten to play so many great places but those are two of the highlights, throughout my career.
Hey, let's get you.
That had to be an expensive venture, though, because everybody and their brother would probably want a logoed hat or shirt that year from you. Your pro shop bill must have been astronomical.
Yeah, there's nothing cheap at Pebble.
Hey, let's get your input on this 2023 Open Championship. And as I'm sure you watched today's action, and you know, you were talking about the bunker play and going sideways. You know, there's the world number two and the world's number three. Both basically, you were saying you might have to make shots on your knees. That bunker almost took Rory and John, and put them on their knees at the end of today's round. How do you see things coming at by the end of the week? Weekend, we've got some inclement weather come in that they're all accustomed to for the most part, I'm sure. But give us your perspective, give our audience your perspective on the next 3 days, Gene.
Well, it looks absolutely wide open to me. There's nobody's way out in front, and you got all the big names, Koepka and Cantlay and Scheffler, and they're all, you know, they're all lurking. I'm a big Rory fan. Our home down in Florida, his dad lives four doors down from us. So we're Rory fans, but it's absolutely wide open. I haven't heard what the weather's going to be like, but it could get, you know, we've had some British Opens at St. Andrews where they finished in some lousy weather, and there's a lot of names nobody knows, but there's a lot of big names that are just, you know, two or three shots back. So I'm not giving you a very good answer, but
there is no answer.
Pretty wide open.
Yeah, there is no answer, and I know one thing that I am proud of as an Iowan. You won the 2021 senior, and then of course British, and then our own Zach Johnson won in 2016. And Zachy pretty much came out of nowhere that people did not anticipate him even being a factor. And that's one of the beauties of this tournament and Lynx Golf. Some guys that have a little more composure and veterans, like a Stuart Sink, who's in seventh right now. But when Zach came and won the British, that came out of nowhere. If you remember that.
Well, and his, you know, you're correct. The weather was poor at St. Andrews when he won. And it was also at Augusta, the Masters, when he won. It was a rainy, wet Masters, and he laid up on every par five. Midwestern guy that's used to playing in bad weather, cold weather, and he wins two majors. So, Zach's, he's our poster child for Iowa golf, and we're all, you know, so proud of him. And you could have a Zach Johnson type if the weather does get bad in Liverpool. you could have a Zach Johnson type finish here.
Well, have you played this track?
You know, I've not gotten to Hoy Lake there. There hasn't been anything in the last, you know, 6 or 7 years that they had there that I could play in. So, but I've played a lot of the, you know, open rotation venues, and they're all great. I really enjoy them all.
John, you got anything?
Well, one of the things I wanted to do for our listeners out there, because sometimes it's hard to describe who we actually have on the air and who they are, really. What I'd like to make a comment here, I'm reading from the iowagolf.org Hall of Fame. And, you know, Gene was a 2011 Hall of Fame inductee into the Iowa Golf Hall of Fame, and his close friend Mike McCoy said that, quote, Gene has conducted himself as a true gentleman throughout his life, both on and off the golf course. He's developed friendships through the golf world and is universally respected and liked by all. And probably that sums up his career. You know, don't worry about all the different championships. I know he's played in 38 USGA championships, and I can tell you that just from talking to you today, Gene, and listening to your stories and hearing about your golf exploits, you know, we probably can do about 12 hours of an interview with you on our show, because I can tell you that you're a remarkable human being, and we're just so excited to have you here on the Tee Florida Golf.
Well, you're very kind. You know, it's been just a passion of mine. I just enjoy competing, and you know, we've made wonderful friends all over the world, I've got some good friends overseas, and it's just a blast. And you know, there is something about senior golf is it's a tight group, and whether we're playing in the States or playing over there, you know, it's a lot of the same players, and we're all dealing with life and getting older and getting hurt and all these things. So it's just a lot of fun. And at the end of the day, we all go to dinner together and have a nice time. So, appreciate you having me on.
Hey, for our audience, you mentioned that you live four doors down from the McElroy's parents. Didn't you say they're just the kindest people in the world, Roy?
Oh, Jerry McElroy is the nicest guy. I mean, you know, I'm fortunate to be a member of Seminole, and you know, they call Jerry the favorite Seminole member, and he's a nice player, very nice player, and I've met Rory a few times, and we're supposed to have a match because Rory will play three other guys' best ball, and Mike McCoy and myself and Jerry are supposed to take Rory on. We're supposed to do it last winter, and we didn't get it done, but hopefully this winter we. Our three best ball against Rory's ball. So,
Gene, on the Tee Florida Golf, we have a celebrity cart girl, an artist named Patty Suzette. We'll get her to be the cart girl, and we'll fix Roy up right away. We'll get to make sure that you guys are victorious in that match.
Well, the last time he did this, Rory was 9 under through 16 holes and had closed out the match. So. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. And that's a formidable trio you put together there, because Mike McCoy, of course, Walker Cup captain from Iowa again. Sorry, boys. This is just facts. These guys are all from Iowa. And Gene, of course, your resume. And as you said, his father, Jerry, you guys might give him somewhat of a run for his money early in the match.
Well, we're gonna grind pretty hard. That would be kind of fun to be able to take down somebody like Rory. But, you know, you mentioned Mike McCoy. Zach Johnson, Iowa native, is the Ryder Cup captain. Mike McCoy, you know, still lives in Iowa, is the Walker Cup captain. I mean, the stars just lined up. I mean, you can't make that stuff up.
Florida is the golf capital of the world, but I'm learning now that Iowa is the center of the golf universe.
That That's correct. You heard it right here, Gene. You heard it right here as we promote those University of Iowa Hawkeyes and our love for corn up there. Well, my friend, this has been a pleasure. I appreciate you taking the time. I know you probably still got, you know, jet lag and you're getting your wheels underneath you, but I look forward to further conversations. Good luck the rest of the year, and you got some great places to go. Go up and win another Canadian championship for yourself, and I'll catch up with you before the end of the year. How's that sound?
Sounds good, guys. I'm going to try real hard. Hopefully this year is a lot better than last year, so we'll talk to you soon.
All right. He's Gene Elliott, and just a great conversation. We'll be back. Jeff and Al and John will talk about our predictions for the next 3 days as well. We might have to modify what we've already chosen. And then we've got the John Rager report, and we'll get a couple more tips. And we got about 20 minutes. It's so quiet in here now that everybody's taken off for the Rays and the Orioles game. It's kind of peaceful. We'll be back on the T Florida live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse.
18 holes never felt so good. We're on the T from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters.
On the Tee, Florida, Florida's fastest growing premier golf and entertainment show has now moved to Thursday nights from 5 to 7, providing more golf entertainment and inside information from PGA to LPGA, LIV, NCAA, high school, and local events. A show for scratch golfers and fun-loving hacks. Two pros, John Rieger and Bill Butner, sharing PGA Golf Tour insights and tips, along with the hack Mike Rickard, head of the Hack Nation, inserting Caddyshack humor with our talented entertainment team of Carrie McNally, Tom Gibran, and Ice Pick Vodka Cocktail Queen and Cart Girl, the talented Patty Suzette. Tune in to On the Tee Florida, Thursdays from 5 to 7 from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse, and Ice Pick Vodka Studios for a chance to win golf passes, swag, Rays Bucks Rowdies tickets, and Ferg's Full Swing Simulator passes. That's On the Tee Florida on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, streaming on Florida Sports Stream and RadioSt.Pete.com. Tee it high and let it fly with On the Tee Florida and Ice Pick Vodka.
We're on to the next hole. And on the tee from the 19th Hole Studios at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Well, that was a little Righteous Brothers. Yeah. I can tell you that. We had little Righteous Brothers in our ear, and one of my... You're too young to probably even remember that song, the Righteous Brothers.
A little before my time, but not too much.
Not too much. John Rager, I know it's definitely in your wheelhouse, the little Righteous Brothers, huh?
Absolutely. You know, I read the historical documents and listen to the archives, and absolutely one of the great groups of all time.
Hey, great conversation we just had. Of course, brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka, Shipyard Brewing, and our friends at Sea Dogs. And across the street, my buddy JJ at John at Shrimpy's, another one of our great clients. And Coca-Cola, Body Armor, and our high school side. But when you're out there on the golf course, you know this is critical, Jeff, is keeping hydrated. And
absolutely, yeah.
And Body Armor is our partner on that. And yesterday, you went golfing, what, Tuesday?
Tuesday afternoon, yeah.
Okay, John, this guy is an animal. Is probably one of the tougher guys I've ever been alongside. I talked to him that evening, and he heat index 103.
Heat index was 103 on the golf course, and I walked 9 holes. Didn't play 18.
Oh, you wimp! You only went 9. You went 9 holes in that index. And where were you at, Mainland?
No, it's Bayou.
Bayou Club. Yeah, you're a member there.
Yeah, I'm a member of Bayou.
So let's get a little bit back into your background. Your father was involved in the game of golf, right?
Yeah, he toured early portions of the PGA Tour, before the PGA Tour, with Wayne Levy, played the New York Open, the Massachusetts Open, New Hampshire Open, all the Northeastern events, you know, back in the day, late 60s, early 70s.
So did you grow up around here then?
I grew up in upstate New York.
Okay, gotcha. And then you migrated down here. When did you get down to the Sunshine State?
The Air Force took me to Los Angeles in 93. And then I moved out here after September 11th with my personal training business back in 2001. So I'm damn near local. I've been here 20 plus years.
Oh, exactly. And you're never leaving.
No, I don't plan on it.
Okay, so you obviously... grown up in the world of golf and have an affection for it. As Rager and I, we're putting this together. There's got to be a lot of contributions on the health and fitness side. You heard us talking about, you know, and John, you heard us talking about the trailers now that they've got the athletes set up. They've got their own teams.
Yep.
Do you think that overdoing it from a fitness perspective can impact some of the players? Because I certainly believe that's happening in other major league sports.
Well, they're definitely bringing a lot of the stuff in from other professional sports into the golf realm. And the thing with the PGA Tour is the season is really long. You know, there's not a real off season per se like you'd have for a professional baseball player, football player. So, you know, your pro football players and basketball players are going to be playing a whole different routine in the gym, you know, in the off season, either rehabbing stuff or building strength, building speed, all that. But yeah, you can definitely overtrain if you've got an event coming up that's a 4-day event in the heat, you know, if you're training too much. So it's just really important to find that balance between how much you can train, how much you should be, you know, stretching and stuff like that. You're going to do all the time. You talk about the hydration and nutrition and stuff is all the time.
Okay. So we talked about the core. I know John's in my wheelhouse from an age perspective. I don't have a whole lot of flexibility and movement in my shoulders because of, you know, 3 separations on both sides, and too many years hitting the heavy bag.
Just getting beat up.
Yeah, essentially. What can you do to improve that flexibility? What kind of an exercise for, you know, trying to get some semblance of backswing? Because I know there's a lot of guys in my age group, and even if you look at the seniors tour and you look at these guys' swings when they're young men versus where they are now in their 50s and 60s.
Right, right. You see the guys on tour, none of them have got really big shoulders and chest muscles. They want to keep the shoulders and the chest muscles smaller. It's that contributes to that range of motion in the shoulders. So with your shoulder health, it's a lot more about, you know, getting that rotation, getting the keeping the left arm straight as it comes up across the body and the release and everything. So the power in the golf swing is all pretty much in the lower body. You watch these guys on tour, they've got massive legs. You watch them when they're training in the training tour on the Netflix show. They've all got
full swing, yeah.
Full swing. They've all got big thighs and big glutes and big legs, and then their arms are tiny. So, you know, it's all about generating that power in the lower body, transferring it through the core, and then just whip in the upper body. So if you don't have the range of motion to get that whip in your shoulders, the flexibility in the shoulders, that's what you really need to work on more so than the strength.
Are you listening to that, John Rager? There's your health and fitness tip for the rest of the season when you get out golfing.
Well, I'm just sitting here listening to y'all talk about this, and earlier in the show, Jeff was talking about rotation, so I think I'm going to come up, I just thought of something for the first 19th hole clubhouse. workout. Okay, so here it is. So this is what I want to prescribe to you, Mike. You're going to get one of those tables of eight, and you're going to get the rotating bar stool, and you're going to sit in it, and you're going to lock your feet in it, so you're going to get that stamina stability that Jeff was talking about earlier to help stabilize that core. We're going to put a Sea Dog brew on the far left-hand side of the table, and we're going to put a Shipyard brew on the far right-hand side. What you're going to do is you're going to stretch on over to the left side and take a sip of that Sea Dog brew, and then you're going to gently return to the start, and then you're going to stretch on over to the right side and go ahead and take a sip of the Shipyard brew, and then gently return and repeat four times. And if you do that, that's going to be your first 19th hole clubhouse workout, and that should help you with your rotation and building your core to the extent that you can.
I like the way you think.
I'm all in. But how many reps did you say? Only four?
Want to start with four. Yeah, normally you need 10 or 12 reps to do anything for your muscle grouping. But, four should do it for you. You want to crawl, walk, trot, run. You want to work yourself into it. Plus, you want to be able to stay on the bar stool and not fall off of it.
I'm starting at 12, just like I did last week with the driver.
Yeah, you hit 12. He just drilled 12 right down the pipe, and 12 reps, and you may be crawling out of here, but that's pretty interesting, John. Pretty creative, my friend. Okay, so let's talk about the John Rager report that you are so diligent on, and our social media is starting to take off, and as we build this concept and expand on it, we'll be doing video here shortly. Get that integrated with Kerry McNally's talents and a couple of my young interns. So, a lot of unique things taking place. Talk about the John Rager report, and then we'll talk open the last few minutes.
Great. So the John Rager Report is brought to you by Sea Dogs Brewery and Shipyard Brewing. And the John Rager Report this week is going to talk about the Southern Company Award. They do the Payne Stewart Award, and they give it out to PGA Tour players. And I'm going to let everybody know, go to southerncompany.info, and you'll see all the information about the Payne Stewart Award. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about it before we announce the local Tampa Bay winner of this year's 2023 Payne Stewart Award. We all know that Payne Stewart died tragically in that jet accident years ago. It was even covered on CNN and all the national networks, and it was such a shame because he had just recently, within the last year, we had won the U.S. Open and made a big career comeback. So listening and reading the Southern Company info, they talk about continuing Payne's legacy, and they talk about Payne's character, charity, and sportsmanship. And they said it went far beyond the ropes. And his accomplishments on the golf course, not only as an 11-time PGA Tour winner and a World Golf Hall of Famer, but he was known for his selfless giving that truly made a lasting impact. His charitable efforts and unwavering dedication to others were unparalleled. And so the Southern Company is honored to continue his great work by helping children and communities across the country. So what they do is they have teamed up with the PGA Tour, and they benefit three charities, the Stewart Family Foundation, the First Tee, the Ozarks, and an organization of the recipient's choice. And before I announce this year's 2023 Southern Company Award, I want to just kind of go down the list of all the previous award winners, and it's pretty impressive. They started this award in 2000. The very first winner was Byron Nelson, and I'm just going to go through all the lists because everyone who's won this is truly a great gentleman in the game of golf and has done a lot. Byron Nelson was the first award recipient in 2000. Jack Nicklaus, then Arnold Palmer, Ben Crenshaw, Nick Price, Tom Watson, Jay Haas, Brad Paxton, Gary Player, Hal Sutton, Davis Love, Kenny Perry, Tom Lehman, David Toms, Steve Stricker, Peter Jacobson, Sir Nick Faldo, Ernie Els, Jim Furyk, Stuart Sink, Bernhard Langer, Hale Irwin, Zach Johnson in 2020 there, Justin Rose, Billy Andre, and this year's award winner is somebody that's local, somebody that we all know in the Tampa Bay area who's been on NBC Sports for a number of years, but also played on the PGA Tour. His name is Gary Koch, and Gary Koch grew up in Temple Terrace and won the Florida Open at a young age, at age 16, and went on to have a great PGA Tour career, but he's also known for his appearances on NBC Sports. He's retired from that now, and he is this year's 2023 Southern Company Payne Stewart Award winner, and that's probably maybe the one award on the PGA Tour that is cherished, and it's not necessarily goes to an active player, but it goes to somebody whose life work has embodied charity and selflessness giving to the game of golf. So congratulations, Gary Koch, the Southern Company 2023 award winner.
Well, I know he was just recently a keynote speaker over at the Sports Club of Tampa and our good friend Brandy Winans, and I was invited to that, and I'm sure you would have been as well, but we had something else pressing, I'm certain. But we've got an effort. I've already talked to Barry, but we've got to get Gary on the T Florida, because he's also, is he a member of the Florida Sports Hall of Fame as well?
Yes, he is. 2014 inductee, the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. Roger Maltby was the one who gave his induction speech for Gary, and then Gary, obviously gave his own speech, and that was quite a hoot that evening with Roger Maltby. But Gary Koch has been a big supporter of the First Tee of Tampa Bay and been an integral part of North Florida PGA, which I'm a member of here in this particular part of the world. And he's 70 years old now, and he and his wife, Donna, still reside in Tampa. And I can tell you that he runs a tournament every year for the college kids called the Gary Koch Pro-Am Invitational. And he benefits the First Tee, but he also benefits a lot of other charities in the Tampa Bay area. And he's probably maybe one of the greatest wedge players that you've ever seen out there. You know, in this day and age, when we were talking to Gene Elliott before, talking about how now at age 61, even though Gene has played in 38 USGA championships, he gets outdriven by the young kids by 50, 75 yards. I know Gary does that now. He's just not going to be competitive on the Champions Tour, but you just not want to play him anywhere on this planet from 100 yards in with a wedge and a putter. I can tell you he still has skills.
Hey, you mentioned Roger Maltby. That's one of the cats I'd like to meet. He's my kind of guy. I was fortunate enough to hang out with the Walrus, Craig Stadler, when he was in Des Moines a couple of times, and often with Fuzzy Zeller. I actually was a DD one evening with Fuzzy and friends. I'll just leave it at that. And there was, you know, we have ice pick vodka. Well, that evening we had plenty. I didn't imbibe. I was the DD. Plenty of Fuzzy's vodka. Fuzzy Zeller has his own vodka, and it's actually damn good vodka. But I wanted to ask your opinion, talking about characters that have returned to the airwaves. I thought it was great today to hear Sir Nick Faldo back doing a little color commentating on the NBC broadcast, was on USA. But I kind of miss Sir Nick Faldo in the booth with some of his off-the-cuff commentary.
Well, it's good to see him back. You know, it's hard to keep anybody off the airways once they've done it for a number of years. But Sir Nick Faldo is certainly one of the great, all-time great golfers, but he had made a great transition to the broadcast booth. I know he's retired now, living up in Montana, but they do, with the Open Championship, because of the worldwide coverage, they bring a lot of the folks back that had great broadcasting careers to spend some time broadcasting the tournament. It's always fun to hear his wit and wisdom.
Hey, did you fellas happen to see today? Dustin Johnson went into, like a foot and a half of fescue, whatever you want to call it, and he hit the ball, and it went about a foot. He drops the F-bomb, and Sir Nick Faldo, it was an English term, but it sounded, you know, very cordial and proper, but he was making light of the disgust that Dustin Johnson had after the ball went exactly about a foot. Did you happen to see that, John?
Well, I did not see that, but I can tell you that with modern technology now, they've got they're getting a little too close to the players, because you're going to hear some very colorful metaphors out there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they don't have the second delay when they do these broadcasts, especially from the BBC.
No, they don't. Hey, you know how Gene Elliott was talking about, how to play these Lynx course. And today, several times, they brought this point up. Tiger Woods, I think it was 2005, 2006, he said over there at Royal Liverpool, one of the keys to winning was avoid traps, lag. And no three putts, and they said, and it seems that probably is the recipe for success playing over there. You know, and just from a layman's and a hack's perspective, it's the safe way to play.
It's actually not a bad way to go about doing it. I think that the best way to look at that is not how good you hit it, it's how not bad you hit it. That keeps you in play, and if you putt well, you have a chance. But if you hit it bad and you get one of those bunkers, you're toast. You're done.
Well, as Jeff just said, that was, I think that was the year that he launched what he called the Stinger, remember?
Yeah.
Just kept it low and only pulled out the driver one time.
Yeah.
And then the Stinger became part of his arsenal and a lot of golfers, John.
Well, you know, golf is played on the ground, especially over there. You know, the United States, with the PGA Tour, most of the golf courses over here, you have to hit the ball very high and very far. But over across the pond, when you get to Scotland and England, I play tournaments over there. I can tell you the best way to do is keep the ball low, get it to run as much as possible, keep it out of the wind, because links golf courses are actually golf courses that sit on the sea. Okay, they sit on a body of water. So if you start doing elevated greens and tees and you try to hit the ball high, you're going to be gone with the wind.
Hey, before we wind things down, you guys want to stick with your picks from last week? Of course, you went with...
I went with Rory.
You went with Rory. You want to stick with Rory?
I think I'm staying with Rory.
Well, as Gene said, and he should know, this thing's wide open.
Putter just let him down today, and he just didn't make the putts he'd be normally making. And he went five holes and were always kind of hot and then cooled off again at the end.
Well, I think making that long putt on 18 was a big factor for the moral. And he tees off at 9:39. You still sticking with Cam Smith, my man?
Absolutely. I'm not going to change my pick from last week. I'm going to stick with my favorite live golfer, Cam Smith.
God, I hate to drop the Spaniard. I like him a lot, but he did not look comfortable today. He's three over, and John Rahm's putter, and he just seemed out of sorts today, don't you think?
Well, you know what, though? This is only round one, you know, and with the weather forecast this weekend, cold, wet, windy, very difficult golf course. You know, if somebody shoots, you know, a couple under par, they're going to move right up that leaderboard. So yeah, you really won't know until you make the cut and see what happens.
He's eight back, but you know, I do like, and I've always liked Tommy Fleetwood, and he's the local kid. I'm going to sound like a bandwagon rider. Nah, I'll stick in there with the Spaniard. You know, he's an Arizona State guy. I'll stick in there with John Rahm. I don't see Brooks Koepka. I don't see Brooks Koepka being the winner either.
You have to look at the quality of the field. Anybody, even if they're two over par right now, anybody that's actually within 10 shots of the lead, after the second round, you have a better indication. But it's anybody's ball game with that golf course being as tough as it is. And, you know, when we were talking to Gene earlier in the broadcast, he was talking about being the medalist at the U.S. Amateur Qualifying out in Pebble Beach. Well, he was a little bit older as a contestant playing against all the college kids. But when the going gets tough, you know, sometimes the scores don't have to be as low to be able to move ahead on the leaderboard. I think that's going to be the case. It's just going to take one good round of golf for somebody, 2 or 3 under par, to get them back up in the top 10.
And see, we've seen it all week, you know, earlier today, with the weather going to be getting better or getting worse in the next couple of days. And one of these guys is 5 under, 6 under par. They hit it in one of these fairway bunkers, and next thing you know, they're dropping 3 shots in one hole.
Exactly.
That really doesn't happen in a lot of other venues.
Well, gentlemen, it's been a great 2 hours. Thank you, Jeff, for showing up. And you didn't get to talk a whole lot, but we'll get you more involved, and you'll get more comfortable. And you know a lot about golf. I appreciate that, but you are a fitness expert. Appreciate you coming in. John Rager, as always, thanks for carrying the old man. And it's going to be a fun 3 days. I'll be... Of course, sleep deprived deprivation will kick in because I'm a 4 a.m. man, and I'll be doing it religiously. So from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios, I'm Mike Rickard for John Rager, Tom Gribben, Gene Elliott, Ken Betts, and of course, Joe Bordeaux and Matt on the controls, and my main man here, Jeff Ward. God bless you. God bless America. Remember to keep it in the short grass. And as always, hit 'em straight.